Hey you, welcome to your mom's podcast. In this episode, I'll introduce you to Nacho. He has been in prison. Yes, you hear me well. And in this episode, he'll share a lot of what is to be on the other side of the walls, what is freedom means, and the political games behind the walls. Make sure to stay till the end, hit the like button, subscribe the channel, and share it with a friend.
Just like in the real world, if you got idle time, you got too much time on your hands, you're gonna find trouble. And that's how I ended up in prison, obviously. You can't play sports with a different race. You can't gamble with a different race. You can't do anything with a different race, is because when something goes bad, you can't just fight one-on-one because it's two gangs. Make eye contact and they'd all recognize, oh, that's Nacho. We're not fighting that dude. That's why maybe I got to X out my face because it might be dangerous to talk about it. You go to the hole. It's just a little one-man cell. You go there for a month. They can tack more time onto your sentence. It's just something you don't want. They take away visitation.
Have you been in this cell in the hole?
Oh, yeah. By yourself. You don't see daylight. You might be going to the hole for longer.
You guys don't know how blessed you are to just wake up and have the freedom to see the window and to see the light. And the Bible helped you be positive of the situation they put you put yourself in.
1,000%. What I got away with, what I was able to do, the change that people witness in that place was, I don't know if it's ever been done. I've always been a firm believer that, you know, you got to be taught racism. You're not born hating a different nationality. There's nobody that comes out of the womb saying, oh, I fucking hate X, Y, and Z.
Everybody is united in prison. It wouldn't be a prison. It wouldn't be any rules to obey.
Could you imagine if the blacks, the Mexicans, and the whites all got together, all inmates? There's no prison that can hold that back. Don't know how you got away with it. Literally warning me, if you come back, other Mexican gang members aren't going to take it lightly, and you probably won't survive a day or two if you ever come back. So don't ever come back. Basically is what I was told when I left there.
Grandmaster chess player know his five moves ahead. Just one wrong move can cost you the game. My guest today wouldn't call any move as a mistake. He would just simply say it's an experience. But what am I talking about? Well, stay till the end and you'll find out. Awesome! Thank you for being my guest, Nacho. Welcome to Your Mom's Podcast.
My mom's? Where's she at?
So share more about you.
Spoiled little brat growing up, good athlete. And you know, people hate athletes because they get their way. But with that, you learn, you know, because it never is that easy as you get older in life. So you got to learn, be a good, be a bad. So fast forward.
Be competitive?
Super. I don't think you'd ever meet someone more competitive, especially at that age, as a young knucklehead, because that's where it starts. If you do well with losing, then good luck in life. Then you're not going to be successful in everything you do. So you got to take it personal when any challenge arises. You just got to face it and know that you're not going to lose, regardless of what is dealt. And I've been dealt some good hands, but I've also been dealt some shitty hands, and I dealt those to myself. So here's the perfect analogy. You guys are all seeing a chessboard. I think that isn't by accident, because I've always lived my life like a chess game, you know, and it's the rules of chess is you make a move, and when you make that move, you got to be willing, ready for them to make a move, and then the move is yours again. So it's more strategy, but it's a matter of how brave and how bold you want to be with that move that you make. And that's in life, and that's in everything. Women, relationships, life, yourself, sales, whatever you want to talk about, it's about thinking ahead to that next move. So
I actually read about a book called Your Next Five Moves, and it's related to chess. A grandmaster player on a high top level of chess have to know at least his next five moves. So that's in life, that's in business. To get better, when you do some move on the chessboard, you should know why you're doing it, what's the purpose behind it, because you should expect your opponent play whatever they play, you should be prepared. So that's what it says in the book. Know your next five moves as the chess player.
I wish I was smart enough to think five moves ahead, but unfortunately I'm not, and that's why, back to the word experience, I've learned because I've made 1,000 mistakes because I'm not the most intelligent dude out there, but I do end up on my feet and, again, ultimately end up winning. I somehow end up on top with a lot of shit that I've done.
So in the book I mentioned before, the next five steps you need to do, they were explaining about how he explored the board and every game they play. If you win, the opponent, then on reverse this game after and check how they won, like the strategy they use. The only game they try to learn how to get better is the one they lost. Okay, do you have something to add on this strategy?
Yeah, it's, you always, and again, going back to sports and athletics, like, you always learn the most from your losses. If it's chess, if it's football, if it's whatever it is, you go back, you watch film, you analyze, and you say, ooh, that's where I fucked up. Next time, if you're able to correct that mistake, that fuck up isn't going to happen, and then ultimately you're going to win. So you do want to learn from your mistakes. In this, what we're talking about, again, I was mistakes at that age. That wasn't a word for me. A mistake. What's a mistake? A mistake was, I don't give a fuck. I'm going to do it again.
What's your biggest mistake you've done? And you've,
this is going to go into a whole different realm, but the biggest mistake I did was got myself into trouble and went to prison for 6 years. So that's a real mistake. So when we talk about mistakes with women, that's my, you know, or anything that's minor, because there are bigger mistakes out there to be made. But again, you learn from every single one of those and you better yourself ultimately at the end of the day.
You hear very well, guys. I brought you here to your attention, Nacho, who have a lot of experience in life. And one of it is how it's to be on the other side, on the walls, into, as you mentioned, prison. How is life there? How did you sell yourself there in front of all these wild people? Like, everybody's a victim of the law, or somehow made a mistake. How did you escape this? How did you win being there?
You got to know who you are. With my athletic background, it was who I was the athlete. And if you're in athletics, you have friends of all color, shape, size. So now fast forward to, you know, an adult and being put into this environment where you're told you can't talk, or you can't befriend, or you can't work out with a black or a white, or I had trouble registering what they were trying to tell me because that wasn't the way I brought up. So just imagine someone saying, hey, you got to go beat so-and-so up, or you got to jump into this fight because we're telling you to. Unfortunately, 99% of that population does exactly that. I was that minority, which I wasn't going to do it. I knew I could defend myself. I knew that I believed what I believed, but I also knew, and I let it be known in there, that I really don't play these rules the way you guys play them. So unfortunately, I'm not one of you guys, although the system, again, I'll do the quotes because they labeled me just that, one of them.
One of the gang.
Gang member, of course. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Right when you check in, you are instantly labeled, like it or not, a gang member.
Even if you're not a gang member?
Even if you're not a gang member. Yes, that's what happened to me.
That's the politics game you mentioned earlier.
Yes, yes.
So they already divide the nation inside the prison by different groups.
Yes, like it or not. You got no choice. You got no choice. Just to give you an example, when I checked in, they asked me, obviously, my nationality. It was obvious. Yes, I'm Hispanic. I'm Mexican. So they asked, where are you from? My exact words were, what do you mean? I said, I'm from Palm Springs. They go, yeah, but where are you from? I knew what they wanted me to say, but I wasn't going to say it. And these are the, you know, the correctional officers asking me.
But you didn't want to say it because you knew you weren't part of them.
Exactly, exactly. So they basically put words into my mouth and said, okay, cool, it's obvious you're Mexican, you're from Southern California, so you're a Sureño.
So that's the gang ruling this part of the
That is
America.
Part of the Mexican mafia, South Side, Sureño, Mexican. So yes, now I just was officially labeled that.
So when you went in prison, you were already labeled as a gang member, even if you weren't.
Yes.
So
yes.
How what happened later on? How did you escape this label from the other groups?
So first, I got to give credit. Again, it was a blessing. So when I got checked in, rest in peace, Moses DeRozzo was already there. He was a buddy of mine who I knew from the desert who was already there, and he was part of that life. So he was gang-related. He was affiliated. So when I walked in there, I knew him through athletics. So he took me under his wing, introduced me to the not the entirety of the gang, but you know the majority, everybody who he ran with, I was now introduced to them, but he also let them know that I was different. And by that, again, I still don't know the answer of how I escaped it without an ass beaten, maybe getting stabbed, maybe getting killed, maybe getting, I don't have the answer to that. But here I am still alive. I'm telling my story because I feel like this is the most important story of this whole podcast because it's going to help somebody, young people, figure out that. Stand up for yourself. Like, whoever you are, just, you are going to go to sleep better at night knowing that you didn't do something that you didn't believe in. Because now you just become a puppet. And I'm not a puppet. So now fast forward, once I got introduced to these people and back to sports, they saw what kind of sports I could play. Now I was their best friend because they wanted Nacho to play on their soccer team. They wanted Nacho to play on their softball team.
Because
they wanted,
of your athlete
because of
skills.
My athletic skills. Okay. Yes, sets. So we were, you know, we played soccer against other yards, other everything. So now I became pretty well known in that place as a fucking pretty fucking badass athlete. Like, our soccer team went undefeated.
So nobody cared about your ethnicity anymore.
All of a sudden, now I'm one of them.
Try me and I'll prove you wrong.
Didn't have to go there because that's not the right mentality. You don't ever want to, but the way you carry yourself kind of speaks more than those words. So they did see me running every day because at that time I was a running maniac. I was working out 2 or 3 times a day because that's what I enjoyed doing. So I think people were absorbing and seeing like, that's so, a crazy fuck. Like this guy, all he does is run and exercise. Like, he doesn't say shit to nobody.
So you're a machine.
And yes, exactly. And this was before the sports playing started. I was just literally getting in the best shape of my life.
What was your mindset? Okay, I end up being around these people. I end up being in prison. I didn't want to be here, but here am I. That was my bold move. Now I have to act better. And that was your next move. I'm going to just show them I am a machine. Were you allowed to work out 3 times a day? What's the rules in prison?
Yes, if you don't have a job, your day is your day. You can play chess all day. You can play cards all day. You can read books all day. Whatever it was your passion. You could do that all day long. For me, it was working out. I always was, again, I was always into sports, so I always worked out. So when you got day and night to do nothing but that, that's how I spent my days. Because just like in the real world, if you got idle time, you got too much time on your hands, you're going to find trouble. And that's how I ended up in prison, obviously. Too much time, you do some dumb shit, you get in trouble. So in there, exercise was yes, it was idle time and I was doing it because I loved it, but I also knew that if I was busy working out, running, doing other shit, I didn't have time to go meet knuckleheads or go and find trouble. I was already in trouble, so why go get into more trouble even though I'm in there? Because there's still, you can still get penalized. You can still get more time. You could still get thrown in the hole. You know, just because you're there doesn't mean that you cannot get into more trouble. And what I mean by that is, you know, going in and fighting or going and just doing something that, because it's all about timing.
What are you aggressive the way that you are like, why I end up in this situation? You'll be like mad on yourself and you're trying to get this energy out of you because it was like poisoning you, or are you just liking and working out?
I control that. That's a good question. I control that anger, that just the ugly and mad at myself. Because I got super duper heavy into the Bible. So I needed something outside of me to give me that peace, to give me that comfort, to give me that drive, you know, just because it's easy to go there and continue doing the same bad shit that got you there. Meaning drinking, smoking, whatever it is, because it's all there. So that would have been the easy route. But I took my focus into, you know, something spiritual, something. So I was super connected, super just reading my Bible every day, just kind of keeping into that positive mind state, which, again, when I still speak to this day about blessings, I do really mean that because I didn't do this all on my own. It was something else, a higher power looking after me, and that's how I was able to do what I did in there and get away with it and never once fight. Never had to defend myself. There were 3 riots the whole time I was there, and never once did I even have to think about fighting. Like, I would literally, I was so good friends with all the black people in there, and it sounds weird, but even when there was a riot between the Mexicans and the blacks, I was walking away from the trouble when normally it would just be on site, fight, me and the black guys, make eye contact, and they'd all recognize, oh, that's Nacho. We're not fighting that dude. Not because I'm a badass, simply because I was liked and respected, because I respected everybody in there. So I never once had to do any of that. No fighting.
But
no.
Nobody else from your ethnicity was able to escape that riot.
No.
So what happens in the riots? How riots happen in prison?
That's why the rules are set. That's why when a race tells you, you can't play sports with a different race, you can't gamble with a different race, you can't do anything with a different race, is because when something goes bad, you can't just fight one-on-one. Like you and I right now, you're Bulgarian, I'm Mexican. We couldn't have this relationship inside of there simply because if there's ever something that we don't agree on, and we feel like we're both men, okay, now we got to fight, that's a riot. There is no one-on-one fights. It can't be one white guy fighting one Mexican guy because it's 2 gangs. It's a warfare. It's just, they try their best to prevent it. Drug sales is a big deal.
What about Mexicans? Do they have different gangs in their groups, or is just one gang in this prison?
So, again, this is the ignorance of that life. And again, that's why maybe I got to X out my face, because it might be dangerous to talk about it. But I'll say it again. It's ignorance. So now, great question. When you go to war with a different race, you're all one gang, right? Mexicans, you're all one gang. But there's also different little gang wars between the Mexicans because they roll around and they call them cars. So if you're from where I'm from, Palm Springs, that's Coachella Valley. Coachella Valley rolls around with one car. Then there's LA County. All the LA boys have their car. Then there's Orange County. So if an Orange County guy gets involved and fights a Coachella Valley guy, now there's a little scuffle between. We're all Mexican, and it makes no sense, I know, but it'll be a little minor gang war between Orange County and VC, which is Coachella Valley. But if you go and start a riot or have to fight against the whites or the blacks. Now it's the entire Mexican. So now someone that you just fought 2 days ago, you might actually have to team up with him to go fight a black war because, again, you're a puppet. You're doing shit that you normally wouldn't do. So that's why, again, it's ignorance. I didn't agree with it. Not here. And what's funny is, out of everything, I take it back when I said I didn't have to. I almost got into one scuffle, one fight, and it was against a Mexican dude because we were playing basketball and I got physical. Thank God I didn't, because obviously you fight, you go to the hole, you whatever, you know, there's just repercussions for all that. You go to a
carcer? Carcer? What is it called?
The hole. You go to the hole. It's just a little one-man cell. You go there for a month. They can tack more time onto your sentence. It's just something you don't want. They take away visitation.
Have you been in this cell in the hole?
Oh, yeah, by yourself. You don't see daylight.
No daylight for 30 days.
Yes, yeah. And even more, depending on how serious your offense is, a month might be light. You might be going to the hole for longer.
You guys don't know how blessed you are to just wake up and have the freedom to see the window and to see the light. See what we're saying here? Like, it's deep to think about this conversation. You have to just listen and follow what he's saying and appreciate what you have. Because, yeah, all of a sudden he came out better person, learn more, have confidence and skills, but also appreciated of life, because he was in a hole for a month without any light. Is that true?
No, I never made it to the
hole.
You
never made it.
Yeah, that would have been the fight that I didn't have to get into, would have put me there. But again, it's, you're just sacrificing way too much. You can get transferred to a different prison. A lot happens. You don't just fight and get away with it, and you go back to your bunk or
something like
that.
So you were on federal or on a state prison?
It was state. It was a
state. So what's the difference?
Federal's more money laundering, more just, I don't even know. I'm not a criminal. I was there, yes, but to be honest with you, I have no fucking idea. Like, I wasn't raised a criminal. I wasn't a bad person. I did what I did. I went away. And I dealt with it. Obviously I got to pay for what I did. And here's the story. Here's the aftermath.
And the Bible helped you be positive of the situation you put yourself in.
1,000%. Because or else I would have been that same knucklehead with walking around with that attitude that you
kind of
pretend like, walking around like a badass. Like, oh, I wish you would, you know, try me so I can show you what I made. Like, that's not the right attitude to have in there. So that was the old me, but obviously with the Bible and, you know, the...
Who introduced you to this Bible? How did you end up reading it?
When I first got busted in the county jail. In the county jail, there was a guy who would not leave me alone. He held Bible studies. His name...
So he was also in the jail, or he was helping people from in the jail?
No, he was a gang member. He was pretty well-known gang member from a local gang. He was fighting life in prison, and he had already bettered his life by reading the word and getting spiritual. So I wouldn't join his Bible study for like a solid month, but he would go to me every day. For whatever reason, he called me sporty. And this was even before you can really work out, because the county jail is just a little room. There isn't weights. There isn't pull-up bars. There isn't a bar dip. There's nothing. So you're just push-ups, burpees, a water bag. That's it. So he labeled me sporty, because even in there, I was working out. But he wouldn't leave me alone. Every day, he was like, hey, sporty, you going to come join the Bible study today? And it was like, no, because at that time I was 100% against it. One day, who knows why, I jumped out of my bunk and I go down and I was like, man, let me see one of them Bibles. I'm going to join this today. And then my eyes were open. I was like, okay, it can't be a bad thing, because at this time I was still fighting the case. I didn't know I was going away to prison for 6 years at the time. It was still early in the shitty situation. So I couldn't be doing a bad thing. So that's how I got introduced to it. And I'm glad I did. That was, you know, and I don't want to say his name because I'm not sure, you know, I'm not going to share any names in this whole thing just because he possibly could still be in there, to, for all I know. I think he lost his case, and I think he still is serving a life sentence. So, and there's a lot of those people.
So do you go to church now you're outside of prison? You have your day life, and would you go to church, or you haven't been?
I haven't been. Pray still, yes. Pray still, of course. Relationship with God, my, you know, the, you know what I believe in, yes. Do I read the Bible like I did? No. Do I go to church? No. Is it fucked up? Probably. Because it got me out of, again, it wasn't, there isn't a question in my mind that that's why I was able to do what I did in there. Because we haven't even talked about, like, what the end result was. You know, being buddied up with the blacks, playing football with the blacks. I broke my wrist playing football in there while playing with the blacks. The blacks sent me, before my own people did, a get well card when I was in the hospital recovering from a broken wrist. The black gang, or the blacks that I
were surrounded with.
They bought a card. They signed it. They gave it to me, which I probably still got to this day, maybe. But that kind of shit is unheard of. Again, nowadays, and even back then, like, what I got away with, what I was able to do, the change that people witnessed in that place was, I don't know if it's ever been done. So, and again, when I left there, everybody who I, you know, and I'm not saying my buddies, my friends, my boys, because, yeah, they were acquaintances, and these are my people I'm talking about, but every single one of them warned me. They're like, dude, don't you ever come back, because what you did at this yard doesn't fly. Don't know how you got away with it. Literally warning me, if you come back, other Mexican gang members aren't going to take it lightly, and you probably won't survive a day or two if you ever come back. So don't ever come back, basically, is what I was told when I left there.
And you follow their
oh yeah, that wasn't, I knew that wasn't work. Not even a question. Like, there's no, I learned my lesson.
You back to the chessboard. You made a wrong move. You lost the game.
I lost a big piece.
You lost a big piece.
Lost a big piece. Yes.
Okay, you see in the chessboard, but you remember what you did wrong, so you're not gonna repeat that. Because the opponent will beat you again.
Exactly.
And take the big piece.
Exactly.
So you say something about dividing this book by groups, and that's our politics. So do you think whatever happens right now with the riots outside of on the street, with all this different nationalities, people say like you're racist and yada yada, is that all made up by the media and by the politics?
1000% is my opinion. That's why, the only reason why I'm talking about this is because, yes, my story was behind those walls. But now if we paint the bigger picture into this world, people only do what they're told. People only believe what they see. So now if you're told that you got to believe, or you got to do this way, again, you're a puppet. Like, if it's not you and you don't believe that that's you, then why do it? Why? I've always been a firm believer that, you know, you got to be taught racism. You're not born hating a different nationality. There's nobody that comes out of the womb saying, oh, I fucking hate X, Y, and Z. It's taught. Either be it by your parents, your family, the media, whatever it is, someone's got to convince you to think that that race is worse than what I am. I'm going to look down on them. I can't have a relationship with it. You know what I mean? It's just, it's not. And this was my mentality, which, again, I proved my stance in the worst environment ever, which was fucking life risking. Could have been stabbed, could have been killed. Did I know better? Not really. I just kind of thought, like, really? Can they really come after me and, you know, stab me, kill me? The answer is yes, of course. Fuck yeah. But I just did my thing. So the main reason I'm talking about this is for that exact reason, just so people don't fall to that bullshit I got no better word, just that bullshit of listening what somebody tells you or making or believing something that somebody else is making you believe. Like, figure yourself out, know yourself, and then make a decision going forward that comes from within you. Like, have a little conversation with yourself. Like, do I really believe that shit, or is it somebody telling me, or is it the media telling me, or is it the president, the ex-president telling, like, because that's what this world is. It's people very influential. Don't get me wrong. Very influential, very, fuck, they're just good at what they do. They're manipulators, which is a salesman.
Well, they control the media.
They all of it.
And they flush your brain with this information.
And they take advantage of you at a young age.
So my thoughts is, okay, we talk about UFO, or we talk about artificial intelligence and this computer science and whatever, and every bright future is computers will overtake the humans. That's what my belief is. So UFO, aliens, if they come, or there is a computers here that are built up with artificial intelligence and they take over our human species, they're not going to care, are you black, are you Mexican, are you white privilege, are you fucking what kind of gender you are. So if the world goes in this direction, why we fight about these little things? We are all human. We are in one race and we want to survive. We should stop playing each other as you mentioned it. Mexican again, Mexican in the gang, different gang related. It sounds stupid. Same as humans. Sounds stupid to fight against other color skin or other type of gender just because of different beliefs, or that the media told you to think, and you start getting like action by your influence. So
just think of it like this. Like, could you imagine if everyone worked together, like how much of a better place this world will be, and no division, no, I can't work with you, because like it or not, whoever is listening to this shit, the only way the prison works is because they know that these gang members, this ignorance that goes, that lives inside of these bars, inside of these wires, whatever you want to call it, is because the prison knows that they will never work together. Could you imagine if the blacks, the Mexicans, and the whites all got together, all inmates? There's no prison that can hold that back. The only way the prison works is because...
So either they have to kill them all, or they have to take control, like, over the guards. The prisoners will take control over the guards, and we would not be prison because everybody going to escape.
It's as easy as that.
So if everybody is united in prison, it wouldn't be a prison. It wouldn't be any rules to obey.
It would be. Not, it wouldn't be prison. It would. You would even have to change the name of a prison. It would be
a dorm.
Something. It'd be beautiful.
University.
Yeah. It'd be a university. It'd be something other than that. And again, if they still wanted to be the badasses that they are and the criminals that they are, they can overtake it. No problem. There aren't enough CEOs in a facility that can stop that many grown men. But because they don't communicate with each other, because they don't think to help one another, because they're just ignorant, and they'd rather play these little politics that they play, well, we're not going to talk to them, and we can't associate with them. But if they did, prisons wouldn't exist. There's no way. There aren't enough cops. There aren't enough CEOs.
So just because we obey the system and the law, we are putting ourselves as a victim. Instead of we unite ourselves, working on the same cause, being together and saying fuck and no to the rules that they're implementing but think about, let's say, the virus. The world prove their self, and the whole people prove how everybody got divided by beliefs of, is it existing? Is it true? Should I wear a mask? Should I put a vaccine? Should I keep a distance? Should I travel? And that divides us. Old generation, young people. Like, this proves the system that we are here to obey the rules. We are not here to ask ourselves the questions which is right or wrong. So they should do something good to keep. And that's what I thought. Let me tell you something. I thought about what the only job rich person need to do. The only job the rich person need to do is to keep his staff working. So his employees work for him. He makes the fortune and he doesn't need to work. So his job is to make them fucking work, divide them, and push them to pay them less, to keep them poor. Like, that's the only thing they need to do. So in order, the politics and the people who control the law to keep their power, they have to continue pushing us, dividing us, and making this nonsense.
That's it. And it's lies. You know, that I think that's some, you know, we only know what we're told. With your example, if anybody ever just spoke the truth and then let us make a decision on the truth, which wasn't what happened, like this, like you said, mask didn't work. Oh, vaccinate. Like, we only knew what they were telling us to where now we were forced to make our own decision. Am I going to get vaccinated? Am I going to do this? Am I going to do that? Because they say this, they say that. It's just a circle of lies, which is, unfortunately, like every system out there, the government, the prison system, every system you can think about. Like, I think it's all...
They didn't let you think. They're like, you're not going to travel. You're not going to go to the store. They take a freedom away from you. We're going to be like, oh, we're going to be surviving. We're going to be healthy. I'm giving you my freedom for my life. Well, if you think about it, your freedom is your life. If you take that consideration of prison mentality, would you give your freedom? Like, no, you want to be free. That's the only thing you pray God for. And the second thing is be healthy. So we didn't ask ourselves the right questions and we gave our most precious thing. So we're now all slaves in this system. And the politics did whatever they need to do and did it very well. We have a lot more to talk with Nacho. And I told you guys, he's an interesting guest. He has a lot of experience, way more than you guys think, and we share here. But in order for him to come back, we should stop the conversation here as it is and continue in the next episode. Comment below if you like what you hear, share it with a friend, like it, and subscribe to our channel. Any last words from you, Nacho, to make sure you keep our audience in this track of thoughts that you throw up here with?
Last comments? I got nothing. Come at me with some questions. I got answers. I got that. Hey, it don't matter what you need help, advice. Like, I've seen it. I've done it. It might not be what you want to hear, but it definitely will help you.
And you're going to teach our audience and myself in the next video we shoot together how to master the relationship with women.
That's my strong suit.
Do you agree to that? Would you come back?
I agree to that. Yes. I've, you know, made mistakes, learned, but yes, I definitely can coach, teach, guide both sides. I'm not, you know, just pro guy. Like, I help women as well. I figured I was good at this way back, just growing up. Like, I'd always have just friends of, you know, girls or boys, just advice. And I always was like, oh shit, did that work? Fuck, it worked for you, huh? Just giving them that push, that little nudge. Like, don't be afraid to try it. You got to try it and then success rate was 9 out of 10. So, again, it might sound crazy, but you don't know until you try it. So we are here for questions. And like my friend here, Mahale, said, tune in or do whatever you guys do on social, because I don't do social media. So don't try to reach out to me directly. You're not gonna find me.
He's a top G. I told you. He's a Andrew Tate. If you guys don't know, you have to listen more in the next video. Thanks for staying till the end. Ciao, ciao.